Road Trip USA number 6, American culture.
Road trips are this quintessential American experience. You get in the car and you drive. Take a road trip. Take a road trip.
So many of us travel elsewhere to other countries, foreign lands, in order to experience different cultures. But the fact is, you can take a road trip almost anywhere in the good old U.S. of A. and find such variety of culture. You will be astounded and exposed to all sorts of new things. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and today's Road Trip USA podcast with Jamie Jensen, author of the book by the same name, is going to focus on American culture, and American culture that you will encounter while taking a road trip. Jamie, it's everywhere, isn't it?
It is indeed, and it's especially out there along the highway, which is the great American adventure, I think.
Not on the interstate, necessarily.
I think not. I mean, interstates are all about the familiar, same old anodyne that you got everywhere, and it's a certain culture, for sure, but it's not a very interesting one.
And when you go to cities at this point, you see the same large franchised chain stores everywhere you go. You don't even know where you are. You know, Phoenix looks like L.A., looks like, you know, there's that certain sameness to suburban areas, certainly, just outside of cities. But what you're talking about, something very different.
Yeah, I think when you get out there into the hinterlands or what have you, there still are the differences that people in Montana speak differently than they do down in Mississippi. And I think getting onto the old two-lane highways and into the smaller towns around the country, you really get a feel for those aspects of American culture.
And how warm and welcoming are these various different cultures when folks with a couple kids and a car filled with, you know, all your stuff barrel into town?
I think they love it. I mean, most people tend to be pretty happy in where they are, I think, and they're pleased that you're stopping in to see them.
And they've lived there for generations, right?
Indeed, and they know all about it, and it's a real nice way to get to know people who belong there rather than just fellow travelers who are racing on somewhere else.
Plus, you're probably going to drop a few bucks, right?
Exactly. I mean, that's the great thing about the American roadside, I think, is all full of, you know, there is a capitalist intensive sort of mentality out there. These, you know, sea live bears advertising, the great neon signs that we admire now, we're out there to try and tempt people to pull into these neat little motels.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
So let's talk about some of the different cultures that one can encounter on road trips across the USA.
Yeah, I think I should say I don't go approach these things anything like a sociologist would. To me, I just kind of like it that, you know, you go to a town like Tombstone, Arizona, which is on our US 80 road trip across the southern tier of the country, and you get a feel. This is a place where the Wild West really happened. And to me, cowboys and Indians, all that stuff, that's American culture.
To what extent is it still happening?
It happens, I think, every hour on the hour. They have gunfights in the street and all that. Yeah, it is kind of silly in some ways.
Oh, it's all very staged. Oh, you mean performing gunfights?
Yes, okay. Performing gunfights with blanks and not real bullets. So it's safe for the under sevens.
Great. And you can get on little horse and buggy kinds of things or hay rides, and they'll, I can't remember where we went, but it was a family trip at one point. Oh, I know. Maybe it was in Bryce Canyon. In Bryce National Park.
Yeah, and it's memorable. I remember being in Bryce one time and getting a guided walk by this Native American ranger who took us out and was telling us all the mythology of, you know, what the different shapes mean, because it's a very spooky, eerie place. And those sort of things with people who actually know the place and can bring it alive to you, that makes all the difference, I think.
I have to put in a personal endorsement for Bryce. I mean, Bryce feels like you're on the moon or some other planet. It is really quite different than any other terrain I've ever seen anywhere in the world, much less in this country. It's really something to be experienced. Not to mention that there are rodeos and other things you can do while you're there.
Yeah, well, it's fabulous. America does have a lot of those things to offer. And one thing just in general is the kind of great wide open spaces that you don't really find a lot of other places.
So the Wild West is one. Let's go somewhere else. Let's go down to Louisiana. What kind of culture do you find there?
Down on the bayou, somewhere down there. Well, if you followed US 80 all the way halfway across the country down to Louisiana, you'd pass very near the Cajun country, which, of course, you know, recently they had all the suffering with Katrina and that. But it's very much a thriving, you know, wonderfully vibrant culture.
So talk to us about the Cajun culture. This is a mix of African American and French and what other influences? Or
yeah,
Caribbean, perhaps?
Yeah, there's lots of, Louisiana has all those things. It's got the Creole culture, which I think is the, you know, the more African American culture. But Cajuns are very much French Catholics. white, by and large, kicked out of Canada when the English took over Canada from the French in 16-whatever. And they were all basically exiled. They weren't even allowed into the United States. So they went down to Louisiana, which was then part of France, and settled there. And they've been there ever since. And they still speak in a lot of that same kind of drawling French that they wouldn't recognize in Paris necessarily. But it's alive and well with the Zydeco and all kinds of wonderful music and food and, you know, crawdad festivals. And it's really something to be experienced.
What about the food? Pretty spicy Cajun food?
Yeah, it can be. I don't mind spice. If you want spice, there's another culture that this wonderful road will take you through, which of course is Tex-Mex in between the two. Mainly West Texas, I think, on the Mexican border there. US 80 snakes along through southern New Mexico and the Texas border. It's a wonderful old route. It was, you know, Butterfield Stage and the old Santa Fe Trail. And it's still out there. It's still this Wild West Tex-Mex hot chili pepper culture where people have competitions to see who can make the hottest spices.
Wild. And then they fall over, right?
Yes. Yeah, foaming at the mouth as their face boils over.
I would think so. We talked pretty extensively in an earlier episode about Native American culture, but I'm assuming that is yet another culture you can find in various places all around the U.S.
Yeah, right? I mean, obviously, it was everywhere before, you know, we came along, or, you know, Europeans came along. And what's interesting to me is that in bits and pieces all over the country, you still find it. Yes, you've got the, you know, the Indian reservations in the West and the Southwest, but even in a place like Georgia, which people don't necessarily expect to be, you know, Native American, there's Cherokee cultural remnants. And the thing I like most are the mound cities that you may not have heard of. I mean, you might have heard of Machu Picchu or Teotihuacan, but we have things just like that in America. Outside the little town of Macon, Georgia, there's this mound city, which is probably 60, 70-foot tall mounds created in the 1500s by what they call the Okmulgee people. And there were mounds like this all over the U.S., and they're still there. They're not necessarily advertised, but this is a national monument, and it's preserved and
protected. And what do you see there in the mound? Do you actually see evidence of how people lived?
Well, they were ceremonial mounds by and large, so there's lots of, you know, sometimes there's burial sites, or they basically were high points above what was then all forest, so people could look out and kind of have these central community events. It's all very mysterious. I don't think anyone knows exactly what was going on because, you know, by the time, they were ancient history by the 1800s when pioneers came through. So, but it's all very mysterious, but very exciting to be traveling along, you know, the Natchez Trace in Louisiana, and you come across these wonderful big mounds. The little sign along the road will say Emerald Mound or something.
So there's no tour being given or explanation? You just kind of go over and
look at it? No, there's usually a park ranger sitting there waiting for someone else to come along, and, you know, they'll tell you all
there is to know. 3 days later, another person comes along.
But it's your tax dollars at work, so go and visit these places. I mean, I take every travel guidebook I can find and every map to look for these little places and then try and send more people there because they really are fascinating.
What about African American culture? I mean, it's everywhere as well, but are there particular places that you recommend people go and check out?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I really try and get it. Wherever I go, I try and find out what unique and special thing has happened there over time. So in African-American culture, I'll do Scott Joplin in Sedalia, Missouri, which is, you know, the railroad town, doesn't really look like much from the freeway. But when you get off into the old downtown off old US 50, say, you can go to these little honky-tonks where Scott Joplin made up that wonderful music known as ragtime. And back down on US 80, which is what we've been following, San Diego to St. Augustine, Florida, when you go in across Alabama, US 80 is the National Civil Rights Trail. It goes from Selma, Alabama to Montgomery, Alabama, the very route.
How far is that?
25 miles, 30 really? Miles, something like that. This is where they walked in the marches in the 1960s.
So this in and of itself would be a destination trip for, say, a weekend.
It's a huge one. It's a huge possibility. If you want to plan your trip, if you're very interested in this, I have been there. They have the bridge crossing every April where they reenact a lot of the really key moments of the civil rights movement. And if that's your thing, go and do it. But if you're kind of a little bit interested in it and you're passing by, you can spend an hour at the National Voting Rights Museum and learn about the people who actually made these things happen. And it's really a moving, incredible experience.
And that's in Selma?
Selma, Alabama. Wonderful little town that, you know, not necessarily on the top 100 of anyone's tourist attractions, but it's great and unforgettable.
But still a bastion of African-American culture.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in a much better way now. I mean, that's the nice thing to travel down there. You hear about the battles of the 1960s, and now it's, you know, a thing of the past in a good way. The main streets are called Martin Luther King Boulevard. These people are now kind of heroes, and I think everyone's the better for it. So you can walk or drive the trail from Selma to Montgomery and just really re-experience a whole, you know, big era of American history.
Hey, let's talk about food as long as we're in that region.
Oh, well, that's my reason for traveling these old roads. You get some good old down-home food there, whether we're talking about Tex-Mex out in, you know, Texas, or Cajun food in Louisiana, barbecue stands.
What
in
about
Georgia.
In Alabama? What do you get from Selma to Montgomery?
Ooh, barbecue. I mean, not necessarily in that stretch, but Tuscaloosa, Alabama, a little ways off my route. They got Dreamland Barbecue. It was Paul Bear Bryant's favorite barbecue, and I figure he knew a thing or two.
On page 767 in the section on Alabama, I notice you have Ed's Pancake House.
Oh, well, there's lots of little places. Yeah, I mean, it's just a nice little local diner, basically. But to go there rather than going to the Golden Arches, and you get a real sense of the local community. And it's just a nice little thing to take that deep breath and go to a place that you've not necessarily ever heard of. But, you know, trust me, I've been out there researching these places. I've had pancakes at Ed's Pancake House, and they're worth it. It's a good thing to do.
So our route of this particular episode of Road Trip USA is on the old US 80, and it starts where on the West Coast?
San Diego, Point Loma, as far southwest as you can get.
All right, well, you got some culture in San Diego, don't you?
Oh, for sure. Well, that's, you know, the first Spanish-American missions there. You've got the surf culture. You've got all
that
kinds of things.
That in and of itself is a truly American culture, is it not?
Yeah, well, if you count Hawaii, I mean, I think other people might have a stronger claim, but certainly the Southern California surfer dude, whether it's the Beach Boys in their woodies or the people out there in their little boards today, it's still alive and well, for sure.
Now it's all surfboard, and I guess when it's not the season for surfing, it's skateboarding.
Right.
Same people, same fashion, right?
Oh, yeah.
So how do you absorb that culture? You just go and watch surfers, maybe try it yourself, right?
Yeah, you want to not get your head kicked in by some of these locals-only folk who've been surfing that same patch since their dads were teenagers or whatever. But
not to mention the waves, which can kick your head in.
Yeah, there's
too.
All that. But it's a good, the hanging out on a beach is hard to beat almost any time. And San Diego is a nice place, you know, almost any time of year.
It is a beautiful place to visit. So, and also, of course, it's got all the big marine world type parks and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so as a start, especially if you want to have that kind of traditional family experience and then take a little road trip off into other aspects. And
although my approach with the family was always to end in a place like that. When we did our road trip from Bryce, we flew into Vegas and then went to Zion and then Bryce and then ended in Las Vegas, which for me was the low point of the trip, but for the kids, you know, was a high point.
Watching those volcanoes erupt.
Whatever it was. Yeah. Oh, I think it was the roller coaster at New York, but, you know, send me right back to the National Park anytime.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, I think.
Absolutely. So, all right, we're on US 80, the old US 80, and we leave San Diego. Where do we go next?
Well, depending on what time of year, you either want to, you know, roll up the windows and bomb across the deserts because it can get awfully hot out there. But if you're there in the springtime, one of the most beautiful deserts in the whole country is just over the mountains from San Diego. It's called Anza Borrego. It's a state park. It spreads for miles and miles and is just gorgeous desert scenery. Continue east a little ways. There's this wonderful little tourist attraction that I love. It's called the Desert View Tower that this wacky guy built in the 1930s just out of stones that he found there. And he decided to set up camp. And it's a wonderful little middle of nowhere attraction just down the road from the world's official center of the world. A little pyramid on the Arizona-California border that some French guy wrote kids' books has built. He's got it proclamated from the governments of France and a few other places, saying that the center of the world is in this little town on the Arizona-California border.
That's wild.
So there's some wild stuff out there, but it does get, it is desert out there, so if you're there when it's hot and you want to bomb along for a while, a very good first destination, one of my favorite Southwest cities, is Tucson, Arizona, which, yes, it's sprawling and big, but it's also got this most beautiful little mission out there that is part of a Native American reservation. It's called the Dove of the Desert. I think this white, shimmering white mission sitting out in the middle of the desert. You can pause that. It's cool inside. Wonderful folk art, mosaics.
Also, Tucson's a little higher up, so often is a little cooler than in other parts of Arizona, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's 104 versus 108 in July,
okay.
Or something like that. But
I stand corrected.
But then to bomb on from there to Tombstone, which is a wonderful place and is higher.
Now, what is Tombstone? Tell me about
that.
Well,
this is back the Wild West times. Tucson, Arizona, where Wyatt Earp shot down had his big shootout at the OK Corral. And it's unchanged. It's not got any timeshare developments anywhere within sight of it, and it's a pretty wacky. It's very popular with the old biker crews who head out there and have little jamborees on a Sunday afternoon. But it's a nice little town.
Bikers understand road trips, don't they?
I think they do.
More so than anyone, perhaps. I mean, they're the closest to the road.
They certainly know the road, yeah. And I think they appreciate the nice little twisties that sometimes in a car you might get car sick. If you're out there on a bike, I think it's heaven.
Interesting. Let's shoot over to the East Coast on that same road for just a minute. And if you're starting, for instance, from the East and heading west on the old Highway 80, where are you starting?
Well, you start at probably my favorite little city in America, Savannah, Georgia.
Georgia. Georgia. The whole day through.
Absolutely beautiful, and it's, I mean, I think...
Tell me about Savannah. I've heard that from other people as well, and I've never had the opportunity.
Savannah is a colonial city. Built. A lot of the buildings are still from the 1700s back there, and it was one of the few southern cities to survive the Civil War. I think General Sherman, when he was making his march across Georgia, decided that it was too beautiful to burn it down, so he, I think, gave it to President
Thank
Lincoln.
Thank you, General Sherman.
He was one of the first historic preservationists, maybe. He's not famous for his kind of good deeds, but somehow, and it's a just absolutely beautiful city. It's built around, if you ever saw the movie Forrest Gump,
sure,
where he's sitting on a square... Sitting on a park bench in this leafy square surrounded by beautiful, that was filmed in Savannah.
Great.
They actually, I think they have since installed a statue of Forrest Gump in the square.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, as the tourist folks like to do to capitalize on all this. But it's just a beautiful city. It's famous now for, there's an art school there which goes around preserving all these old buildings. And they preserve a lot of old diners. So it's a wonderful, you can go in and, you know, this 1930s diner in this, you know, colonial era American square, and just you get this kind of wonderful, it's like a living museum of American architecture.
And people are friendly there?
Very friendly. I mean, you're in the South, of course they're going to be friendly. And it's nice. It's also the same, if you ever read that Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, wonderful book. That's all. That has got Savannah down, and it's still exactly that world there.
Yeah, someone actually recommended that book to me, and I haven't read it yet, but they said Savannah's the main character.
Definitely. And if you even read the first couple of chapters where it's all about setting the scene on Savannah and the wonderful, eerie cemeteries where a lot of the stories have taken place in that, it's just a great book and a real good... I mean, that's another thing to think about when you're traveling, is what kind of reading material to bring along, and that is a wonderful book.
Or to read before you take the trip, absolutely. Really, it gets you in the mood, sets the stage, and sometimes you hear about things that you then want to see.
Yeah, well, that's what I do throughout the whole book, is I try and refer people to other things they can read. If they go into Columbus, Georgia, that's, you know, Carson McCullers, one of my favorite American writers, Ballad of the Sad Cafe. It's set there. The town is exactly like that. There's these places all over America, small towns that have really kind of preserved their literary connections. And that's, I mean, what better culture than American writing.
Well, speaking of literary cafes in Georgia, we've got Fried Green Tomatoes at the Whistle Stop Cafe, right?
Yeah.
Is that still in existence?
I think there's some debate over, there's the place where they filmed the movie and the place where the book was written about, and they have this little rivalry going.
That was Rita Mae Brown, right?
Yeah, that's the one.
I remember that. Now, what about Plains, Georgia? That was put on the map, so to speak, with President Jimmy Carter.
Indeed. Yeah, and there's now a giant peanut with Jimmy Carter's smile welcoming you to the town of Plains. But pretty much the whole place has been preserved as it was when he was a kid. And he's still lived there. I mean, his presence is felt, but it really gives you a sense of what an alternative he was to our other presidents who might have preceded him.
Let's talk music in Georgia.
Well, I mean, Macon, Georgia, again, to get back to, they not only got this wonderful little mound, but they have the Georgia Music Hall of Fame, which is the home of B-52s, Little Richard, all sorts of people who have come through there, a lot of them from there. The Allman Brothers.
Otis Redding.
The bridge that you drive across on US 80 is the Otis Redding Bridge.
Ray Charles, too?
I believe so.
Absolutely. Okay, so you go there and what? You see little bits of memorabilia, you hear the music?
You hear the music and you realize how a lot of cultures crossed there. That it wasn't, you know, all about this one thing being created. It's about how people interacted and shared things. And so music kind of grew one to the other. And that's a great thing all over the South. You got back in Montgomery, I was talking before about the Civil Rights Movement. You've also got Hank Williams. I mean, you don't necessarily put these two forces together, but they are side by side. Hank Williams is buried there. He played his last concert there, I think. And there's a, you know, wonderful statue. And it's just, you get a sense of what, you know, he brought to American culture and how all these things, in all these towns, you realize how things things have blended together to create whatever it is we call American culture.
If people are interested in putting together trips where they really explore various American cultures, what kind of tip can you give them?
Well, the thing I would say is follow your nose. There are so many people out there who have kind of done research on their little niche somehow. And if you're interested, the internet has been a wonderful thing for bringing all this information together. You don't necessarily have to spend your life going through some genealogical library to find out how these things are connected. It's almost there, you know, click to click. There are all these resources out there, and they're always getting better. And they want you to learn about what they think is important.
Ecotourism has sprung up as almost a little sub-industry. Is ethnotourism a similar sort of thing that's going to be happening and we'll be hearing more about?
Oh, it has been. If you go to the, you know, the travel section of your bookshop, there's, you know, Polish American history guides. They'll take you to great moments in Polish American history. There's some wonderful African American history guides, and the various states also will help to package and present the information for people wanting to learn more about it.
Excellent. We've talked about culture, and in our next edition or episode of Road Trip USA, the podcast, we will be focusing in on history. And I know that's one of your favorite topics, Jamie.
Indeed.
Absolutely. This podcast, Road Trip USA, has been produced by Green Creative Services for Avalon Travel Publishing. The website, www.roadtripusa.com, has essentially all the same information minus the pictures that you'll find in the book. It also has a contest right now. It's designed to be interactive. We want to hear about your road trips and your travel experiences. If you enter the contest, at the very least, you'll get a bumper sticker. And if you are selected, if you have a great story and a well-written story, you stand the chance of winning Microsoft Streets and Trips 2006 with GPS Locator. So once again, that website is www.roadtripusa.com. And the new fourth edition of the book by the same name is available in bookstores across the country.